back, ladies and gentlemen. Fourth hour is on here on the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'm going to go now to a video of Tucker Carlson talking about the proposal, the bills that we were just discussing with Brandon Weikert, the Section 622 and Section 224 by Tom Cotton and other Israel First politicians here in America to permanently and inextricably merge American and Israeli military and intelligence sharing. And, you know, when they say merge, that kind of makes it sound like we're going to have access to their stuff. I don't even think that is really part. I think it's just opening up us to them, not the other way around. I could be missing something here, but, you know, Israel doesn't tend to make those reciprocal deals. They like to get it all and provide nothing. Here's Tucker Carlson talking about these Tom Cotton introduced bills of treason. Let's watch.
Bill or this amendment that would essentially more or less merge U.S. intelligence and Israeli intelligence by making it mandated for the United States.
And he's the chairman of the Senate Intel Committee.
Yeah. Mandate the U.S.
One of the most evil things that's ever come out of our Congress. It's one of the most anti-American, you know, anyway.
Yeah. I encourage everyone, go to Responsible Statecraft.
What is that? What is the Tom Cotton story?
I don't know the story. I don't know exactly why he ended up. I mean, he was a protege of Bill Kristol and served in Iraq, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not really sure exactly how deep his ideological commitment to this is or if it's other reasons. But Paul Pillar, former CIA legend in many ways, someone who really stood up against manipulation of intelligence during the Bush years, trying to get us into that Iraq war, has a fantastic piece laying out exactly what this is on responsible statecraft and showing that this is an extremely dangerous situation. And what they're trying to do, not only with that, but also with 224, is to, in which they're trying to take away the aid, because the aid is public, it's scrutinized, et cetera. They're all trying to do it in some sort of a procurement accounting exercise. So it will continue to happen, probably even more money for Israel, but it will all be hidden in the bureaucracy with no congressional oversight. So they're recognizing exactly what is happening. They're losing the American public, but they can use some of their last juice that they have in Washington to go push through these different reforms. And it will become a structural impediment towards the type of healthy break,
they should
healthy
be in prison.
Detachment.
They should be in prison, all of these people.
This is happening right now. So when you're saying that, look, they're losing Trump, you know, yes, you're absolutely right, but they're doing other things that will make it very difficult for future presidents and members of Congress to be able to break free from some of these things.
What? So where is this process?
It is right now in the NDAAs in the Senate. It's going to be voted for, if I'm not mistaken. Some parts of it has already been voted for, and now it's going to go to a final vote. And this is happening in front of
and
the
it's
American...
it's going to pass.
Most likely it will pass.
And what is it? Can you just summarize what it will mean?
Well, the intelligence part is really devastating because essentially it means that it is mandated for the U.S. to share significant amount of intelligence with the Israelis, and it can only be prevented if the president himself goes in and stops certain things. The president does not have the time, should not have the time, to micromanage the intelligence relationship.
Why would the United States share any intelligence with Israel? Why would we be required to do that?
I mean, there's always going to be sharing of intelligence, but it's going to be very careful because we will get intelligence from them. I have no idea whether
the intelligence we get from them is fundamentally untrue.
Well, that's for certain, particularly when it comes to some of the things that they try to sell us. I don't know if that relationship is sufficiently balanced, but we're making it increasingly unbalanced and essentially saying that for something to be stopped, the president has to intervene. And this is also very problematic because it means that we would have to share intelligence about other partners that we have with the Israelis that actually could be betraying them in a way. So again, it's once again putting the relationship with Israel above all other relations that the United States
above
has.
All other concerns, including like the most basic concern, which is how is America doing?
Yeah.
That's subordinated to how do we support Israel?
Just absolutely absurd. It is absolutely treason. We got more treason to talk about. We're going to stop talking about Israel. We're going to stop talking about Iran. We're going to start talking about all of the other ways that our countries are being destroyed from the inside out. Stay tuned. It's the Alex Jones Show. So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to thealexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just CMOS and Shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it. And get it at thealexjonesstore.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, folks. This is The Alex Jones Show. Just going through all of our non-Israel and Iran stories here. Am I crazy? I feel like I saw a headline the other day, if the crew can find it. Did a couple of Antifa get busted, like, dropping algae in the reflecting pool? Because I really haven't been following this story, but there's been this big controversy over Donald Trump repairing the reflecting pool in front of the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Monument. And you got headlines like this from Washington Post. Reflecting pool algae blooms have roared back, reaching highest levels in years. And it's like, how does that happen? You completely renovate this reflecting pool, $14 million renovation a month ago, and within a month it has more algae in it than it did before. How is that even possible? I don't even understand. And I don't understand the opposition to this. Like, all of a sudden I started seeing all these posts that were just like, Trump's stupid, idiotic plan to fix the reflecting pool. And it's like, I'm sorry, what is the issue? He wants the reflecting pool to look nice, and that makes you angry somehow? Why, though? But why? And it is one of those things. It's like, I don't know what psychological phenomenon it represents, but he's fixing the fountains in Washington, D.C. And I've been to Washington, D.C. forever. Trump wanted the reflecting pool to be American flag blue. Algae are turning it green. I swear, am I hallucinating? People got arrested for pouring algae into the pool. I swear, if the crew can't find this, I'm going to check myself into a mental facility because I'm hallucinating. I swear people were arrested. Maybe it was a Babylon Bee thing or something. I don't know. But I just saw this headline as I was going through this stack of papers talking about the algae bloom being the highest in years. And they're like, CNN is going out and testing the water and getting samples and testing it for algae to prove that Trump didn't get rid of the algae. And it's like, where is this level of concern about literally any other topic? Like, what about things that matter? Do you want to go do investigations on that? No, you're not going to ever look into any of the like gigantic bombshell claims that could alter the course of our country in terms of mail-in ballot fraud or just literally anything else that requires investigative reporters to actually do the work to figure out. They're not doing any of that. They are, however, going to the Washington reflecting pool and testing it. They say warm weather fueled the bloom. Look, I'm blaming Antifa until you can prove me otherwise. That's my position on all of this. It ain't natural. But it's also unnatural, their desire to live in filth. It genuinely is crazy that if you're just like, hey, you know, this giant fountain we have in the middle of the city, it should have water in it. And they're just like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why would you put water in the fountain? It's like, because it looks nice and is pretty. And they're just like, you fascist, you absolute fascist. Don't you know people are going hungry? It's like, what does that have to do with any? What are we doing here? What are we doing? This is like, it should just be bare minimum. It's like, should this not be a test of just municipal governance? That it's like, hey, that guy was in charge and the fountain started running again. Is that not just a tangible benefit that we all receive? I'm voting for this person. And damn it if the leftists aren't furious at this concept of beauty and cleanliness. It's just, it's anathema to everything that they believe and understand. And I lived in D.C. for a while, just every couple of months. I'd go up there for a couple of years and work on film sets. And yeah, you walk by these fountains and they're dry and empty and covered in graffiti. And you don't even think about it. Like you don't even, it never even crosses your mind that like there was once water running through this. It's almost like you accept that for some reason, people in the past built these big bowls that were empty and, you know, had like these weird metal features in them that apparently did nothing. And then like you turn the water on, it's like, oh, right. No, wait, this is supposed to be a fountain. And it's just, it's weird that like for literally years, these fountains just sit broken and just empty. And I mean, they still look nice, but they'd look a lot nicer if they were doing what they're supposed to do. There's another famous fountain that sort of creates kind of a river going downhill, multiple steps. And I've been to that exact place and I walked around there. It never occurred to me that it could be fixed. It just, growing up, you know, in the 2000s in America, you just kind of accept that, yeah, there's these vestiges of a once great civilization that we no longer know how to maintain. And it just never even occurs to you that it's literally a simple matter of just like telling somebody to fix it and then making sure they do. It's really not that complicated at all. And it actually makes things nicer. And you can see the images that the Trump administration has put out. And again, as much as I am angry at the Trump administration for failing to uphold their more important promises like mass deportations and getting rid of H-1B visas and, you know, all this other stuff, not getting into Middle Eastern wars, I really am upset at how things have gone off the rails. But at the same time, there are certain things that it's like, how did this not happen before? And how did we get almost lulled into this understanding that like, yeah, crime is terrible and the fountains don't work and there's homeless people on the streets and that's just the way things are? Trump comes along and goes, well, let's get the homeless people off the street. Let's get the fountain running again. Let's have a nice place to live. Yeah. What? Why not? Why are we the greatest, most prosperous, most powerful country that has ever existed in human history by a factor of 10? I mean, even to this day, you know, sure, industrially, China's rising up, but like they don't hold a candle to what America has achieved and can achieve. And we can't keep the fountain running, really. We got wrong priorities, and that should be a priority. Yes, the aesthetic beauty of the country that we live in has a tangible and significant impact on the way people feel about our country and think about our country and just understand what is possible and what is right. It might be an older generation thing, because I'll tell you, my grandmother is like 95 years old, and she still walks up and down like three flights of stairs every day to get to her house on top of a mountain. Like, she's so fit. And like, she has a car. She has an Expedition from like 1992, and the thing runs better than my 2021 car, because something about the generation before the boomers, whoa, were they the silent generation? My grandparents' generation, they knew maintenance. And I feel like we've lost the skill of maintenance, where just like you keep things running nicely and you don't let it ever break down. And I don't know if it's a generational thing and things are just kind of cheaper now and less well made, so they break more often, and you kind of just go, well, it's not working, whatever. That's just the way it is. But like, I think we're losing the concept of like maintenance and why it's important and why you want to preserve these certain things. And the generations that came before understood that, and so they lived in a nicer and more aesthetically pleasing world and more functional world. And the fact that we can't keep our fountains running really is a symbol, a symptom of something much deeper that I'm glad Trump is facing and helping to correct. I also saw this headline. I got more important things to cover, but, you know, sometimes things pop out at you. Everyone in Trump's cabinet is eating sauerkraut. What? A new diet is sweeping through President Trump's cabinet, and it involves heaping portions of sauerkraut, Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, and Vice President J.D. Vance have all embraced the diet drawn by the promise of slimmer waistlines and glowing skin. They've all apparently determined the health benefits outweigh the slightly sulfurous odors that have been the cause of some domestic friction. Tell you what, folks, maybe this is great. I wouldn't doubt it. Sauerkraut, you know, things that are fermented can be very healthy for you and give you a lot of benefits. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. Tell you what, if you're wanting to lose weight or get, you know, supplements that you might need, if you're not a big fan of sauerkraut, why don't you try some of the supplements we have at thealexjonesstore.com? I'm just saying, better skin, losing weight, we got stuff for all of it at thealexjonesstore.com. Sauerkraut might be good, but our stuff is better. I'll tell you that right now. That's what I want to see. I want to see the headline that's like, new health craze sweeps through the White House. They're all taking supplements from thealexjonesstore.com and having dramatic, and it's having dramatic effects. Everyone in Trump's cabinet is eating Shilajit gummies. What is this stuff? Where did they get it? And why are they glowing? Why are they looking so healthy and robust? What could it be? Well, it's the Shilajit gummies. Irish sea moss. What is this craze that's sweeping the highest halls of power? Irish sea moss. Whatever could it be? You know, maybe we need sauerkraut supplements. Maybe we're missing out here. We need ultra blue sauerkraut edition or something like that. I don't know, but I'm just telling you, if you're looking for that secret fix, give sauerkraut a try. If it doesn't work out for you, might I suggest thealexjonesstore.com and the incredible array of supplements we have for all of your health needs. Unless you are a demigod, unless you are somebody that never gets tired and has perfect skin and, you know, is fit without working out. Like, if you're a human being, then there's something for you at thealexjonesstore.com. There's something that can help you either achieve your goals, whether it's weight loss or just, you know, more energy, being more healthy and active. We have water filters back in stock, the classic Alex Jones iconic product, the water filters, because once again, whether it's poisoning your mind through education designed to turn you into a obedient cog in a giant industrial machine, or the manipulation that poisons the mind of our children intellectually or physically when they're actually putting industrial waste like fluoride into your water to deliberately lower your IQ, or things like atrazine and other estrogen mimickers to deliberately lower your testosterone and feminize men, you're under attack. You're being poisoned. And the only way to deal with it is to protect yourself by filtering your water, and while doing that, to try to gain power in this country, seize it from the hateful, despotic, anti-human idiots, just set things right once again. But until we achieve that, until we crown RFK Jr., you know, king of the ecology, and give him dictatorial powers to stop children being fat. Like, until then, you got to protect yourself. You got to do your own work. You got to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Support us. Support yourself. Make yourself healthy, happy. And, of course, we are coming up on July 4th. Get your patriotic apparel now. It's 30% off this incredible wide selection we have of patriotic t-shirts, thealexjonesstore.com. I wonder if we have any of those patriotic t-shirts around. I really, really like the designs of the 250th anniversary year. A quarter of a millennia, this great country has tried desperately to fulfill its promise of 1776 and a world ruled by the people and for the people. Wherever we fall short, we always have that North Star of the founding fathers and their foundational moral principles and political genius to guide us on our path and get us back on the right track. Go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us in this mission, support yourself, and get some fantastic apparel for the upcoming very special and unique Independence Day, the 250th of our country. Now I want to go to a video of Julian Dory, very popular podcaster these days. And this is what's going to happen now that we're done with the war of distraction in Iran? You remember the Epstein files had some very interesting notes where people said things like, well, if we're about to get caught, you know, the distraction I would do would be to start World War III or maybe bomb Iran. And I don't think it was necessarily a coincidence that very shortly after the release of the Epstein files, when the entire world and specifically the American population got access to a tranche of millions of documents that show in no uncertain terms and in no need for a heck of a lot of interpretation, a gigantic cabal of pedophiles that manipulate the rest of us in order to exploit and control us. And I think we need to get back to talking about that. Okay, we had our fun with the Iran expedition. We lost a bunch of money and a bunch of bases and we're humiliated and now we're done with that. Okay, that's over. Thanks, guys. That was fun. Let's get back to the very concerning reality of everybody in power in our country being in hawk to or blackmailed by a bunch of Israeli spies that have them on film doing horrible things with children. Can we get back to that? Because that's a big deal that we haven't dealt with yet. Julian Dory is leading the charge on this. Let's go now to this clip. Bombshell Epstein Trump report proves cover-up. Let's watch.
Vice President Pierre panicked, as I said, to others in the room about the way the subject Epstein was already dividing the MAGA coalition. Some senior officials had the impression... This is one of the best sentences in the whole article.
100%.
Some senior officials had the impression that Vance had bought into the darkest theories about Epstein and a cabal of predators hidden within the country's ruling class, which, guess what? There are none of them. In fact, every bit of these files has proven that there is not one pedophile that exists in this country, let alone in the elite classes, who would never, ever do such a thing as harm an innocent child. I mean, Deef, we've gone through jmail.world. They're never talking about anything that could possibly be a reduction in the life of any kid or any person who's trafficked whatsoever, because they're above that. Why would they do that ever in this world? Why would these darkest theories ever would buy into? I don't know, maybe...
I think that needs to be about our attitude. That's about what we need to have. Hopefully we dump that. I mean, it is crazy. It is genuinely insane. And you know, the interesting part about the Epstein files was that I don't know if people appreciate this, really. It is like the ultimate success of the founder's vision, right? Because this is an international scandal. It involves, you know, infiltration and subversion in our country, not just the obviously despicable crimes of child abuse and child endangerment that is very much on display. The not, again, very subtle references to torture and murder and all of this sort of stuff. It is horrific. And the executive branch was keeping it hidden. The executive branch, whose obligation it is and was to bring justice for these crimes and to expose this stuff, to be the long arm of the law for the American people, failed to do so. And so what happens? The other branch of the government institutes its checks and balances capability. Like this is what it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to have a government that just ignores the will of the people, and every branch of the government seems to kind of work in tandem. The Congress doesn't really want the responsibilities. They're happy to shuffle it off to the executive branch. The executive branch kind of does whatever the hell it's want. In this case, you have the executive branch not fulfilling its obligations and instead having to get the Congress to force their hand in a bipartisan fashion. This is like the ultimate proof that our system is still valuable and viable when you have the right people in office. And of course, that's why they kicked Thomas Massie out of Congress, thanks to AIPAC, or as Jonathan Potteritz put it, he ran into the buzzsaw of AIPAC and basically Israeli opposition as a warning to everybody else what happens when you dare try to fulfill the demands of the people you actually represent. Really incredible stuff. Let's go back to Julian Dory and his friend being very correct about how we should all feel about Jeffrey Epstein and the cover-up.
Citizens were asleep at the wheel. Some senior officials had the impression that Vance had bought into the darkest theories about Epstein and a cabal of predators hidden within the country's ruling class. The second best sentence is what comes next. Wiles would tell others that the vice president had proved himself to be a major conspiracy theorist. Oh my God, he thinks that bad things happen and that would never happen in the United States of America. Susie Wiles, who also advised for a short time on Benjamin Netanyahu's 2020 re-election campaign. And obviously these files don't involve Israel or, you know, anything like that at all. So, you know, she would never be obfuscating because of that. But can we actually look up the term conspiracy, Deef? Let's start there. I'm going to do a little drill here. I haven't thought about
this.
Let's
do a drill.
Let's see if this helps me with what I'm thinking in my head. A conspiracy is a secret plan or agreement between two or more people to commit an illegal, harmful, or subversive act such as fraud, treason, or corruption. In both the Merriam-Webster Dictionary and the Legal Information Institute at Cornell Law School, so it's Ivy League approved, it is formally defined as an agreement along with an intent to achieve the unlawful goal, often requiring an overt act in furtherance of the plot. So fair to say that means some level of secrecy to obfuscate something illegal.
I feel like that stuff happens, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Bernie Madoff, just stuff.
Yeah, it's just this, it's gone.
People conspire.
Yes. It's all gone.
Yes.
It's like, where's the South Park scene? Where's my money? And it's gone. It's all gone. Now, can we look up conspiracy theory definition? A conspiracy theory is an explanation of an event or situation that cites a covert, often sinister group of powerful people working in secret to achieve a malevolent goal. These theories typically reject the mainstream official consensus because they're the mainstream official consensus.
Because they're on the payroll.
Listen, but Deef, whether they're on the payroll or not, the money doesn't matter.
No.
They're always right. They've never missed.
They are. That's why we listen to them.
It is. I mean, there's something about the chief of staff of the White House calling the vice president a conspiracy theorist for accurately interpreting the official government files about official government investigations into a giant conspiracy. What are we doing here? What are we doing here, folks? And I don't know. You know, I don't like to be a sucker, but it does seem to me like J.D. Vance is on the right side of all of this stuff. And I'm like, is he so deep undercover that this is all a big game? Because, you know, people, you follow his history, you learn about sort of who paved his way to the position that he's in now. But I have a hard time not believing that he's who he says he is when routinely on every one of these issues, he seems to be, in some cases, the only person in any position of power actually expressing what we all can all see, that the Jeffrey Epstein pedophile cabal network was obviously a conspiracy in the classic definition, that Israel, you know, killing everybody in Lebanon is not a positive by any means. He seems like the real deal, which is why I think he's being shuffled off to the side, and the Hegseth Rubio ticket is being pushed forward because they're a little bit more dedicated to the people who actually hand out positions in the highest halls of our government. We'll be back on the other side with our final segment. Don't go anywhere, folks. AlexJonesLive.com. Share that link to all your friends.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are listener and viewer supported. It's very simple. The AlexJonesStore.com. You back us. You fund us. You are everything. And we bring you the very best products, the very best supplements, the very best water filtration systems, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the very best knives, silver coins, you name it, so that you get a great product and empower yourself while at the same time empowering yourself and free humanity against the globalists. So, a lot of new things at thealexjonesstore.com. Look at these belts. They are super comfortable. They are incredible high quality. They are so durable. They'll last a lifetime. And the way they're designed is something special. So I paid like $75 a year or so ago for a similar belt. And I told Bigley, I like this type of belt. Why don't you get these? They got belts even better than the one I bought about a year ago that I love. And they're selling them for $39 right now. That is a big discount out of the gate at theyellowshowstore.com. Premium nylon tactical belt. This is the premium nylon tactical belt available now at theyellowshowstore.com for only $39.99. It's built from heavy-duty nylon webbing with a smooth automatic ratchet buckle. No holes, no guessing, no too tight or too loose. You get a perfect micro-adjustable fit whether you're working, carrying, driving, sitting at your desk, or on the move. And we've got them in three editions. On the buckle is a little cross, a 1776 edition, and Alex Jones signature edition, making it original and special. It's all black, tactical, clean, durable, and built for everyday use. It's murdered out. It's off black. And right now it's only $39 at thealexjonesstore.com. They are premium. They look great. They have knocked it out of the park with this product. Get yours today, and also buy gifts for friends and family, and know you're fighting the tip of the spear in the fight against tyranny. Also, Bigley knocked it out. Highest rating, level with the carbon filters, beautiful, highest grade stainless steel for lower price than other systems that aren't even as good. We're so proud of this. The first group sold out. More coming in about a week and a half. So get your order in now to make sure it's ahead of the line. Those are now available. This is platinum level, gravity fed, water filtration, and it makes this operation possible. Multi-tested by top companies to take out hundreds and hundreds of bad chemicals and non-detectable levels, the atrazine, the glyphosate, all of it. You should do this for your family. Do this for yourself. It's a big 3-gallon system. It's amazing. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And then we have the widest selection of Patriot apparel. Some of the designs are the best. Some of them are okay. I'll just be honest. Some of the designs I come up with are okay. But I came up with the concepts of these new shirts. Limited edition, 250th anniversary of America, July 4th, special edition. So it's sold through the middle of June, through July, and then we're not going to sell these T-shirts anymore. They look so good, they'll probably come up with another variant or something. But these are limited edition, Liberty or Death, 1776, 2026. They came up with that. I love it. The simple one I came up with, America, 250 years strong, nice, simple, clean, kind of got like a polo look to it. Look at that one. Destroying Tyranny since 1776. Gadsden flag on the Betsy Ross flag. I came up with that design. I'm really proud of these. They're very clean. You'll meet a lot of like-minded people wearing these. Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. I designed that bad boy. They designed the 1776, 250 years of freedom. Oh, I love the one they designed with the brass knuckles, 1776 free. Defund the Deep State. That's all their designs. America, ride fast, live free. They designed that. Ball caps as well. All limited edition. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And to keep us on the air, take action now. Big Brother hates it when you fund the tip of the spear. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back. Final segment of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Got a lot of videos to show you here in the final segment. And some of it's completely insane. I want to do this really quick because we haven't covered this in a while, but I've been watching the case develop, and it has been as unfair as one would expect. It's the case of Chud the Builder. Now, I actually have a personal relation to this case because Chud the Builder was supposed to be coming on War Room with us the day that he got in a fight and was arrested, rather was attacked, protected himself, and was arrested. This whole thing has revealed a very obvious two-tier situation in our country. Again, I'm not going to go through all of Chud the Builder's background or anything else like that, but the way he's being treated, the way he is being denied upon, the way that they are using every manipulation they can in the legal process to punish him, not for the crime that he committed, if he committed one, even, I don't think he did, but, you know, this is not a matter of a dangerous person being kept away from society because, you know, in order to protect them, he's not a dangerous person. He was attacked. He defended himself. And by the way, he shot himself in the scuffle. Like, that alone, I would think, would mean that whatever happened was chaotic, was like, clearly you don't shoot yourself with a gun if you're the one in control of a situation. It's not like he, you know, pulled the gun, just started shooting. He wasn't under threat. Like the fact that, yeah, he shot somebody, but he also was shot. You would think that that would be like, all right, well, you know, clearly this was a chaotic moment of panic, whatever it is. But long story short, Chud the Builder gets a reputation for, well, if we really want to go back, the reason Chud the Builder even started doing what he was doing was because he had basically been attacked and smeared during Black Lives Matter, and for years had found that he was under constant harassment and couldn't get a job because, I don't know, he disagreed with Black Lives Matter at one point, so they decided to destroy his life, and they pretty much succeeded. So he said, well, if I'm going to be known as this guy, if you're going to destroy my life and try to make me, you know, completely broke and desperate because of who I am, then I'm just going to embrace it and I'm going to flip it around, you know, do a little judo flip of it and go, oh, you want to bankrupt me because I say the N-word? What if I become famous by saying the N-word? What if I say it even more? Because, hell, you want to destroy my life over saying it? I'm just going to keep saying it and see what happens. And of course, he gets a reputation and people want to fight him and kill him. People threaten him with guns all the time. And he's basically, you know, his point is it's just a word. And, you know, the reaction, the violent reaction is completely outrageous and ridiculous and exposes like a very concerning undercurrent in our society of people who think that words justify violence and think that words are violence. And think that saying a word, like that's the craziest. It's not even a sentiment, right? It's not even a thought. It's just a word. In any context, you say that word and you deserve to die. In fact, if you say that word after being attacked, it somehow retroactively justifies the attack. We saw this legally. This has been the case with the guy in Portland who was stabbed. After he was stabbed, he called his attacker the N-word, and the jury in Oregon basically said, well, then it's fine you were stabbed. They let the guy go. They didn't punish the stabber, the knifeman, because after stabbing somebody, he was called a no-no word. This is crazy. This is unacceptable. This is not the way that a conscious society operates, and the outrage and fear over this word that, by the way, is like the most popular word in the black culture. Like, it's all so ridiculous and absurd. So he gets this reputation as being somebody who does not fear claims of racism. He is harassed pretty endlessly. This guy catches sight of him. The guy who attacked Chud the Builder and was subsequently shot had posted on Facebook and other social media that he would try to find Chud and that if he ever found Chud, he would try to attack him. Chud the Builder is there streaming, not interacting with the guy. They call out Chud the Builder. He interacts with him momentarily, then tries to walk away. The guy follows him and attacks him. Chud the Builder, I guess, tries to pull out his gun while he's being attacked. The gun goes off. The guy gets shot. Chud the Builder gets hit. Again, I think that's an important part of this is that Chud the Builder himself was shot with his own gun. Again, it's not, this wasn't an execution. This wasn't him just pulling his gun out and shooting. This was a physical attack. And by the way, if you have a gun, you know, I get that it's a little bit like cause and effect gets a little wonky when you get into this, but if you have a gun, you are now, like, the threat of physical assault against you is now a lot more intense because that means that if somebody is coming at you to attack you, they know you have a gun, they're attacking you anyway. Okay, that's kind of concerning. And what happens if they get the gun? You know, it's like you can't let that happen. You can't just assume that they're going to, like, disarm you and leave you alone. If you have a gun, if they know you have a gun, they attack you anyway. Maybe they try to get your gun from you. Okay, you are now in a life and death struggle for which, you know, physical, you know, firing the gun is absolutely justified, in my opinion. So Chud didn't start the fight. In my opinion, the fact that he shot himself means he wasn't, you know, didn't deliberately shoot the guy. It sounds like the gun went off maybe in an unintended way. But regardless, he has been denied bond. they've gone through and, you know, because he got the money for his bond by, you know, fundraising, they wanted to disqualify that. Really no reason to do so. Meanwhile, the guy that attacked him in the first place isn't even being held. He's been let out and he's walking around, you know, free. Chud the Builder, however, has been in prison since the attack, will now remain in prison while he's being charged with attempted murder. Again, to me, this is a very simple matter of if you're against Chud the Builder, you basically are saying that saying the N-word is worthy of a death sentence. Like, that's what the decision here. The question is, when an American says a word, do they deserve to die? And if your answer is yes, then you're against Chud the Builder. If your answer is no, this is America, okay, it's offensive, but that's the price you pay. Because that is the price you pay to think your own thoughts and to understand the truth and to have an unfiltered interaction with reality. You have to be offended. That's the trade-off, and it's a very small one. Hey, some people are going to say things you don't like. Bummer. Your feelings got hurt. Boo-hoo. You know what you get in exchange? The ability to think freely, the ability to express yourself in any way. It's incumbent. It's you can't have one without the other. This is a matter of free speech. This is a matter of not, you know, whether it's okay to go do this. You can think whatever you want about that. You have a legal right to, and nobody has the right to kill you because they don't like what you say. That is what's at contest here with this Chud the Builder trial, and he has now had his bond revoked. His real name's Dalton Etherly. He was arrested after he allegedly walked out of a restaurant tab of nearly $400. Like, that story is also fake. Basically, he went to a restaurant and the restaurant kicked him out and he was like, but I haven't paid for my food. And they're like, it doesn't matter, get out of here. And then they later charge him and say that he, you know, left without paying when literally they kicked him out because they didn't want him there. And then they charge him later. So this guy's just been like harassed endlessly. Again, why? Because he has said the N-word and he has white skin. He's a white guy. He's not allowed to say the N-word. Therefore, arrest him unfairly, get him fired from his job, make him lose custody of his children, like destroy his life in any way that you can. And if, you know, he still persists, then kill him. And like, that's the way he's being treated. And this is outrageous and ridiculous. And frankly, anybody that is counter signaling this is wrong. And it's really as simple as that. Let's go to the video now. Chud the Builder in court yesterday. He's not looking quite as clean shaven. And again, he's been in there for a month at this point, despite the fact that the guy that actually started the attack in the first place is out there walking free and not charged with anything. Let's watch. Oh, it was the one you were just playing as B-roll. Chud the Builder has no bond and will be held for trial. By the way, Carmelo Anthony stabbed his classmate to death and got bond. So that's the other thing. Like, when you compare Carmelo Anthony to Chud the Builder, it just could not be more different. One guy shows up with a knife, is politely asked to leave, pulls a knife out, stabs somebody in the chest, killing them. He gets bond. He gets to use the money that he gets on, you know, fundraising. He gets to go graduate. Meanwhile, Chud the Builder, minding his own business, gets attacked, tries to defend himself. He is receiving none of the benefits that an American citizen should otherwise enjoy. Let's watch what happens with Chud the Builder in court yesterday.
Happening now, the controversial online streamer known as Chud the Builder is making an appearance in a Nashville courtroom. Dalton Etherly faces three misdemeanor charges stemming from a May incident at Bob's Steak and Chop House inside the Omni Hotel. Investigators say Etherly live streamed inside the restaurant after staff asked him not to, then refused to pay. Etherly also faces separate felony charges in Montgomery County for a shooting investigation. During Etherly's court appearance, one investigator on the stand recalled the shooting.
Shots were shown to be fired prior to them hitting the ground.
Shots are being shown to have been fired prior to that?
Yes.
And how do we know that?
I can see, or in the courthouse video, it shows the casing ejecting from the firearm. It also shows the ricochet off the concrete planter.
Okay.
Prior to him hitting the ground.
So Mr. Fox hadn't been hit at that point, correct? If it, you're seeing a ricochet in one casing.
I would assume so.
The judge denied Etherly's release today, citing violent posts he's made on social media. Etherly is also facing a $1 million bond in the Montgomery County case.
So again, you know, we're going to keep an eye on this, and I'll try to bring somebody on who has covered this more and can tell you the actual details about how systematically they have denied Chud the Builder the rights that are provided to anybody else. And this is one of those things that just sort of happens in this country. It's just, it's like we were talking about earlier when it comes to, you know, these laws that we have that are very rigid and, you know, structured and been in place for 100 years about whether the president is able to declare war or not. And it's just like, well, but, you know, we like it. So it's just going to happen and that's fine. It's the same with rights as well in this country where it's like, yeah, you have an absolute right to, you know, free and fair trial and no, you know, extraordinary punishments to be leveled at you. But actually, you're an anti-Semite. So all that's out the window. Actually, you don't get any of the protections of the Bill of Rights, let alone any of the other amendments or freedoms guaranteed to you by the U.S. Constitution. See, that's only if you say what we want you to. If you disagree with us, you don't deserve any of that. It's that sort of mindset that, frankly, you see dominating these days. And I haven't covered this story much, but it was an absolutely fascinating one that happened while I was on vacation. It's the Cornell student who said he didn't want to work for Jews, and subsequently they tried to destroy his life for daring not to work for Jewish people. It's like, well, if you wanted to work for him before, I don't know if trying to destroy his life for disagreeing with him is the best way to convince people what a great working environment it would be. This is the story from Daily Mail, because of course he's the bad guy. He's got to be the bad guy. Entitled Cornell student who said he's not interested in working for a Jew is given $11,000 from supporters who blame Jewish people for trying to ruin his career. Well, they very much did try to ruin his career. It's the thing. It's like, okay, if you think it's fine they tried to ruin his career, then say that. But to act like they didn't is a lie. It's like, no, they tried to ruin his life. They still are. By the way, it's not just Jews doing it. It's people like Leo Terrell as well, which is how I'm going to connect this all together. But his name is Austin Franco, 19, sparked a fierce debate on social media after he turned down an interview at a tech startup over the founder's Jewish faith. Gabe Einhorn, the 24-year-old chief executive of Verified, an anti-fraud platform, jumped on X to share a message he received from Franco on the college career platform Handshake. He included a screenshot of Franco's comments, which read, "Not interested in working for a Jew, thanks." Yet, after receiving mountains of backlash over his comments, supporters began appearing and rallying behind the Ivy League student. See, this is telling the story in kind of a convoluted way. What actually happened was apparently this guy, Austin Franco, was approached multiple times by this Gabe Einhorn fellow and asked to interview for a job. Austin was not interested and said he didn't want to work for a Jewish person. Maybe not the smartest thing to say, but who cares? It's the truth, right? And again, I just don't understand. If I was trying to hire somebody and they were like, I don't want to work for a white person, or I don't want to work for a Christian, I'd be like, okay, bye. You know, great. Glad you told me now rather than, you know, concealed that and, you know, start working for me and screwed everything up. You know, who would want to hire somebody that wouldn't want to work for you or your religion or whatever else? And this is not a like hard and fast, you know, principled belief held by Gabe Einhorn or John Lonsdale or anything like that. Because in the same thread where Gabe Einhorn is talking about Austin not wanting to work for Jews, there's people going, hey, my child wants to work for a Jew. Can you give him a job? And Einhorn's like, absolutely. Give me a call. Right? It's not like, well, how dare you? You have to go work for a white person or a Muslim. You have to go work for a Christian or a Muslim. How dare you have preferences over the ethnicity of the people for whom you are employed? It's not a hard and fast like principle they have. It's a ethnic supremacy kind of motivation that's behind it. Because what happened was, and this, the reason I think, there's a couple things I think are interesting about this. For one of them It is the way in which people are lying about it now. In fact, I posted something about this and I had people commenting on my post saying I was lying, saying actually this never happened. They said Gabe Einhorn never doxed, never revealed the identity of this Austin Franco person, but he absolutely did. And it's not even a question. In fact, the post is still up. So Gabe Einhorn publishes this person's name, then edits the tweet that has his name in. But when you edit a tweet, you can always go back and see the older version. So that older version where he names Austin Franco is still up. You just have to click the, you know, see all edits part. But what happened here was Joe Lonsdale, let's see, how do I tell it? Hopefully you've already heard this story, so I'm just sort of giving you a recount. But if you hadn't heard it before, Gabe Einhorn first puts out a tweet that hides Austin Franco's name. And it says, and basically he's publishing it saying, hey, it's really concerning how sort of brazen this Cornell student is being, saying, I don't want to work for a Jew. Basically saying, I just want to let everybody know that, like, this guy's from Cornell. This is like one of our higher institutions of learning, and this is the way he's talking. And, you know, maybe that's not good for the direction that our society is going. That's how I interpreted his original post. And then Joe Lonsdale basically says, say who he is. Say this person's name. Let's ruin his life. And Gabe Einhorn actually responds like, well, I don't want to ruin this guy's life. I just think people need to know about what's going on. To which Joe Lonsdale responds, no, Gabe, you are being weak. If somebody does this, they deserve consequences. The only way a people prevail is through strength. Be a strong Jew. Don't be one of the weaklings that reacts in a way to get us attacked more. Be a man that makes them afraid to attack your people. And then he publishes the actual LinkedIn profile of Austin Franco with his name and picture, doxing him. Now, Joe Lonsdale is one of the PayPal Mafia members who is actually a co-founder of Palantir, which again is very concerning that this is the mindset of the people that run Palantir. It's the same mindset as Alex Karp as well. This idea. Now, he's not, you know, he's saying our people, he's saying, you know, be a strong Jew, make them afraid to attack your people, our people, right? This is how they think. I mean, this is their mindset. And it's not, you know, they don't feel this way about white people, Christians, or Americans, specifically Jews. But again, the interesting thing about this is that Gabe Einhorn's first instinct was not to destroy this guy's life. It wasn't, you know, to wreak vengeance and to, you know, punish him severely for this act of thought crime. It was the hyper elite Jew, the billionaire Jewish guy who came in and said, actually, no, you do need to punish this guy, wielding, you know, the pressure that comes along with his name to get Gabe Einhorn to go, oh, yeah, you know, you're right. I really do need to destroy this guy's life. So it's not even like, you know, this Gabe Einhorn guy understood, you know, by nature, like, okay, we're going to destroy this guy. He had to be convinced. He had to be told to do this. Joe Lonsdale had to step in and remind him of his duty to the Jewish people. That's the poison that comes from people like Joe Lonsdale, who are this extremist, do think that you deserve to have your life destroyed if you don't want to work for him, I guess. And the pressure that he wielded. But then where it really gets actually disturbing is that a DOJ official, Leo Terrell, came out and said he wanted to make Austin Franco permanently unhirable for merely saying he didn't want to work for a Jewish person. So Leo Terrell, in his official position as a member of the DOJ, puts out a tweet that says, if this Jew hater is ever hired, please post me and I will retweet it. So as far as I'm concerned, this is a official of the U.S. government using his position in the U.S. government, using the power of the U.S. government to levy a punishment on somebody for a thought crime, leveling a punishment on somebody. And punishment, you can be sent to jail, but you have lots of punishments that are available in criminal or civil processes. How many constitutional rights do you think are being violated by Leo Terrell by posting this? Seems like a cruel and unusual punishment. He never gave the other guy a chance to defend himself. There was no actual accusation that could be met with a denial or a guilty plea. There was never a point in which he, you know, the Austin guy was allowed to say his point. They skipped all of that. So no due process, obviously, but the punishment is still being leveled from the American government in a way that I would consider cruel and unusual and an obvious violation of the First Amendment that says you're allowed to have a religion or a religious preference. That is literally the point of the First Amendment. And if we want to get rid of that, well, things might get a little uncomfortable really fast. But as it exists now, we essentially have Judaism as the state religion. And if you dare to blaspheme against that state religion, the government itself will punish you for it. I think he's got a pretty good civil rights case on his hands. If only he can find a lawyer. If only he could find a lawyer. Ask Laura Loomer how easy that'll be. So again, it's crazy. It is genuinely crazy that people like Joe Lonsdale or Gabe Einhorn are pursuing this tack of make them afraid of us. Make them afraid of us. It's especially interesting that that's the tack they take because they pretty much immediately started crying victim. And you had Gabe Einhorn complaining that, you know, some other guy, I think his name's Mo Khan or something. But he basically came out and was like, all right, they want to destroy, you know, this guy's life. Two can play at that game. Let's all go give bad reviews to Gabe Einhorn's business. And, oh, now they're doxing Austin Franco's family and they're, you know, going after his parents and their business. All right, let's go after Gabe Einhorn's parents' business. Let's do that. And obviously, I would prefer if we didn't get into a tit-for-tat ethnic conflict between Muslims and Jews, both trying to destroy each other's, you know, public life over words. I would prefer not to have any of this intersect with American society whatsoever. But you don't get to play the victim all of a sudden. If you think that somebody's words are worth destroying their life, well, you can't turn around and then go, oh my gosh, we're being attacked. This is anti-Semitic. They're trying to target us because we're Jews. It's like, well, maybe you should have left him alone. Maybe Joe Lonsdale shouldn't have swept in and said, actually, we do need to destroy this person's life. By the way, co-founder of Palantir, operators of identity programs, you probably don't want these types of people with control of your personal information. They seem vindictive and extremist.
It took them 2 years to do it. When Bigley came on as our sponsor, now the owner of the Auctions Network and then the main backer, I said, I want gravity-fed filters. I sent them the test from previous sponsors, and I said, these guys fell off. Their quality wasn't as good. I got rid of them. This happens to these companies. There's only out of more than 50 gravity-fed companies, three or four that have the very best filters that cut everything out. They're stainless steel, and they start cutting the quality for whatever reason. I said, I want the highest-rated stainless steel. I want a clone of these products, but even better, and I want filters rated this high or higher. They went out, took them 2 years. They did it. This is something everybody needs, everybody wants. There's a giant market of folks that know how wonderful gravity-fed filters are and know what quality is. We have all the tests published on the site. It's the best. There are companies selling filters that the stainless steel isn't as nice, anywhere close, and the filters aren't even the highest rated. They're selling the damn things for $400. They're selling units similar to ours, aren't even as good, for $500 retail, discounting at $400. These babies are $300 and even lower for VIP members. There is very small markup. The markup is not even 100% in these, okay? And when you're VIP, it's even lower. That is the best deal. This is a home run. This is the best. This is going to help hire new crew on top of the crew, extra crew. It's going to help get new reporters and hosts and the new network getting completed with all the equipment stuff. I mean, this is a big investment here. We're rebuilding our operations. We can't do it without you, so... your word of mouth for the show, alexjoneslive.com, getting the free app, sharing that with others where they can get it, alexjonesapp.com, following us on X at Real Alex Jones, following us on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. That's all critical in telling others to do that. Your word of mouth, your prayer is king, but getting these products is also critical. And we only sell you stuff that really empowers you because we want you to love it. and be impressed with it, so we have a relationship with you.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.